Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Well, here we are.
Yes, another Green Divas Radio Show.
In this nice cold studio, thank you, Polar Vortex.
Why is it so freezing?
I don't know. Is there stuff on that radiator over there? I didn't even look.
Oh, it's warm. Oh. I almost burned my hand. So it is warm, but I don't know. It's just probably maybe the circulation isn't that good, like on our corner of the studio.
Yeah. Oh, I'm between the two windows. So anyway.
Oh, so it's blasting at you.
You're on with Green Diva Meg.
I'm Green Diva Gina. Hey, everybody.
So, we have a very busy show today, and today's show is like really focused on climate change and climate change science.
Yes.
And how we can talk about it and how we can learn to talk about it. Green Dude Paul's going to come in and talk to us about a seminar he just went to, a workshop by Yale. Wait a minute, it's the Yale Climate Change Communications something or other. But anyway, and he'll tell us all about that. But it's all about how to... the language that we need in our back pocket to talk to neighbors, family, friends who say, oh, climate change is bunk. And you know, yeah, there's some people you're not going to convince and you're not going to try. You know, you don't need to beat your head against a brick
wall. Smile and wave.
Right. Say, okay, we can agree to disagree. But, you know, with those people that kind of look at you and go like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then you can say, well, how about this? And how about that? So he's going to give us five things that we can focus on that will help us answer those questions. For those of us who do care about and believe in climate change and want to help get everybody involved.
Yeah.
Because it's painful sometimes when you have a family member or a neighbor who maybe is, you know, just thrown out all their plastic and they're not recycling anything. And you're like, come on.
I've been there. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've been there.
Like ransack the neighbor's garbage and put it all in recycling?
Not just that. I mean, I love my family, but there's definitely some members of my family I know of that they say stuff regarding climate change. I'm just like...
yeah,
like,
right.
Like, you feel like your heart stopped for a second, and you're like, oh, destroying my world.
My green diva's passing out right
now. Yeah.
The green diva in me.
Yeah, seriously. So that's great. I'll have to... check him out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it'll
good
be fun
advice.
Having Paul in the studio later. Paul used to be a regular part of the show, and he's going to be regular again.
Great.
Which is really good because he's so articulate and fun and really knowledgeable about all this stuff.
Awesome.
And he's always busy going to all these seminars. So
good. So he stays current, which is yeah. Great. That's awesome.
I'm not as good at that. But we also have Green Diva Lynn calling in for the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report.
Great. Always has a lot of great information. A
lot of news this week, as always, but she's so good at curating it.
Yes.
I like saying that. She's curating.
Yes. Yes, she's the news artist, you could say.
Yeah, the museum of the Green Divas. She's curating our My Earth 360.
For sure.
And then Foodie File, you're going to do an interesting one today.
Yeah, so last week we were talking about pets, and I don't have a dog, but I'm around one.
Every Tuesday.
Very sweet dog, Gracie. I'm going to talk about the health benefits of making your own dog treats and post a recipe. And then whenever you have time, if you want to try to make them up and see if it's worthwhile and if it's Gracie approved.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Well, and every time Gina, I will say whenever Gina comes into the studio, the house here, Gracie barks like mad, like she always does.
Yes.
But you're not afraid of her anymore because she never... God forbid, she doesn't bite anybody.
She just has a lot to say.
She just wants to make sure you know that she's, you know, in charge and that, you know, mom, someone's here, oh my God.
Yeah.
So she's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
But you have learned, you give her treats and your own, I love how you have trained her. She trained her to sit down and stay. And then Gina puts the treat a few feet ahead of her and then says, okay. And then she goes and runs and gets it. It's really cute.
Because also what I realized with any dog, too, it calms them down because it makes them, she stops barking.
Yeah.
And the fact that she has to watch me put the treat, you said, it's focus.
Yeah.
And then after that, she's my best friend.
Yeah, she is.
She's like, oh, okay, hi.
Yeah, as long as you don't touch her bone.
No.
My husband keeps giving her these bones, like these.
They're I know.
This bone, you know, was like in the freezer at the healthy dog food place, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all natural, but it's like, you know, serious bone.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Not for the faint of heart.
If the dog, if the cat walks within 5 feet of her, she's like, I said, the cat doesn't want your bone.
Yeah.
So we're trying to work on her to be a little more friendly when she's got this thing. Otherwise, I'm like, don't give them to her.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, she's always, you know, she's learned our routine down. I can't even get to the door because she literally sits.
Sits. The minute you walk, yeah, I saw that
knows.
Today. Yeah.
She knows. She's like, oh, yeah, okay.
I'm down. I'm sitting. I'm waiting. Oh, my God. Oh, my
yeah, because she knows as soon as she does it, she'll get a cookie.
So then our feature today, speaking of climate change.
Yes.
Is John Kelly, who is the CEO of Youth Climate Report. No, Youth Climate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Youth Climate Report, right?
That's him.
I got it right.
That's him.
I love. He also is, he's the self-declared emperor penguin. What? Nico Harbor Entertainment. Isn't that fun?
That's awesome.
Self-proclaimed emperor penguin. Don't you love that?
I love that. That's totally him. Like, from his emails, I can see him saying that.
Yeah, he was very, very sweet. And Paul and I are going to talk to him because you won't be here with us.
I know.
Our schedules. What are we going to do? You know?
Seriously. I mean.
Jamming it all in.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun in preparing for this interview because, you know, the Youth Climate Report is a collection of videos from young folks out there.
Yeah.
That are talking to scientists and, you know, helping us all learn and understand more about climate change.
Yeah.
And I'm going to post it on the Green Divas, but one of the funniest, best videos was called I Am a Climate Scientist. And it's this whole rap with all these.
What?
It's hilarious. But it's really good. It's a good.
Yeah.
I think they're climate scientist students.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a lot of fun. You'll see it.
Awesome.
You'll see. You got to go to thegreendivas.com.
Yes.
And check us out on Facebook while you're at it. So what else is going on? Okay, I just have to talk about, you know, we do another show in here, GVK,
yeah,
which is Good Vibrations with Kristen,
mm-hmm.
And I get to co-host that, which is a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Kristen is, and it's more of a conversation, like we sit and we talk about some spiritual topics that we don't do much here, which
That's
is
awesome.
Fine because it's different.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's doing a chakra series where mm-hmm. she's talking about the different attributes of a chakra and she's toning. There's literally a particular sound and tone that helps clear up a chakra, which I didn't really know, but I'm like, cool, okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah,
doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it can only help.
During it's only a half an hour podcast discussion, but in the middle of it, she does a toning for that chakra, and if you just listen to the podcast, you get toned.
That's so cool.
So this week we did the second chakra. Which, of course, is, you know, also it's got a lot of, you know, characteristics associated with it. But, of course, it's the sexuality.
Desire, too, right?
Yeah. So yeah. We call this one getting sexy with the second chakra.
Oh, I love that. That's so funny.
Yeah, we have fun.
Yeah.
We have fun. Oh, so, anyway,
cool.
You can go to the Green Divas. I posted that today on thegreendivas.com.
Yeah, and have your chakra toned.
Get toned, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So what other stuff is going on? You know, Walmart, say what you will.
Yeah.
You know, when they make a policy, and sometimes it's good.
Like now.
They can change a standard in the industry because they're so huge. And, you know, there's problems with that. But say what you will, they have a new policy that they're expanding. I'm gonna pull it up on my computer here. Hang on, people. It's yesterday Walmart announced a major update to their corporate chemicals policy. Thank you, Gracie. Yes, we think it's pretty good.
Yes, we think it's awesome.
With the release of their sustainable chemistry implementation guide, sending a strong message to suppliers, competing retailers, and chemical industry that toxic chemicals that build up in our bodies that are linked to cancer, birth defects, learning disabilities have no place in products on our shelves.
Amazing.
I think that's huge.
So it is huge.
It's, you know, I guess when they're in a negative aspect, you could say a lot of bad things about Walmart, but using that power that they have for good, you know, it's a step in the right direction.
It is.
For a lot of reasons.
It is. And, you know, they're probably one of the largest retailers in the country, but growing in the world too, because you know, there's Sam's Club and Walmart, all the big bulk companies. So they are going through a lot of plastic.
Yeah.
Probably the most out of any company.
Well, I don't know what they're doing about plastic, but at least they're going to reduce the chemicals that are in products that are, you know, in the products that, so I think BPA is one of them, BPA, and I think they're looking at other things.
And any other phthalates, and then whatever, you know, cleaning supplies, think about all those chemicals, or foods.
Well, you know, there's enough alternatives now available on a large scale. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everybody who's out there, you know, demanding it.
And being good consumers.
Yeah, being good, you know, you vote with your dollar.
You do.
Vote with your dollar. Vote with your wallet, whatever, your credit card, whatever you're using.
Your euro, your pound.
You know, we're making a difference.
Yeah. It's true.
Can I complain a minute?
Yeah, of course you can.
I just want to complain about my Paisley tea. Remember we did that tea thing about Earl Grey tea?
Of course. That was my first project with you.
Yeah, I love that. I want to do one of those again.
We'll have to do it again.
But my favorite tea out of all the Earl Greys that we tried was this Paisley Organic Tea Company. And it was also, like, you know, not the most expensive. In fact, it was more moderate than some of the other organic ones.
Yeah.
But I liked it because it was almost bulk. You know, they just had, like, it was a box with a bag in it. And it had, like, 25 tea bags and, you know, the biodegradable.
Yeah.
No tags, no individual wrapping.
Yeah.
I felt like, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Now they switched over and they're each individually wrapped. Now you get less tea bags, individually wrapped. And they have the tags and the string and the hoo-ha. And I'm thinking, okay, why do we have to have all that stuff? Seriously? Why are you messing with my tea?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think there's more trees involved with all this packaging.
It's true. And labor, too. Yeah. People, you know, packaging all of them, taking the time to package each tea bag individually.
More energy used, man.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Anyway, just wanted to kind of complain because it was my favorite tea and
now you're just kind of bummed about it.
Yeah.
You know, you opened your box and you're like, what is going on?
There's less of them, too.
Yeah. Oh, what a bummer.
All right. More good news. And then, you know, I'm wondering how much of this Lynn will talk about. And she did send us a cheat sheet.
Yes. I saw a quick email from her.
I saw it and I didn't have time to read it because I've been out. So
yes.
Anyway, L'Oreal, you know, the big cosmetic company, L'Oreal in Paris, is announced that they are dedicated to removing all of those microbeads that you've been hearing about and learning about, you know, the little plastic beads in makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Ick.
Gross.
Anyway, they're dedicated to removing them in all their products by 2017.
Which is fabulous.
Fab, baby. Yeah. Fab.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the fact that they can go to those lengths to be like, oh, you know what? Plastic, grinding plastic isn't into your skin, isn't all that good for it? Oh.
Oh, gee.
Oh. Or just having the plastics like in your body washes. I'm sure you see them in soaps, right? More frequently, you see them in soaps or body washes or like face washes, you know, to exfoliate. But there's other natural ways to exfoliate your skin.
Wait, hello? Salt, sugar.
Yeah.
You know. All kinds of little seed things, right?
Of course. Oh, yeah. There's so much. There's so much. It's just...
Sounds like a segment we should do.
Yeah.
We need to start doing a natural beauty segment, don't we?
That'd be amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, good idea. Putting it in the idea file.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, what else? What else? I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff going on.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff.
Well, let's talk about good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, our awesome sponsors.
Oh, yes.
Who help make this show possible.
Yeah.
We've got buygreen.com.
Yes.
Shout out to Doug.
Oh, hey, Doug. Doug, you still owe me some underwear.
Oh, yeah, right. We're waiting for the, I can't remember the name of that company, but they're made from pine shavings.
Yes.
And the fabric is remarkably soft.
Yeah. I wore it to yoga the other day.
Did you? The little
t-shirt? Yeah, and I was like, oh, it's so comfortable. Like, because it's, you know, it doesn't ride up when you're doing poses, but it's super soft and comfortable. So, like, you just feel like you can move around in it.
Nice.
You know?
Anyway, buygreen.com, he's always got sales going on. He's very, they're very, very good at rating. So you can understand how sustainably made a product is.
Right.
And its entire life cycle, how recyclable is it. So check out buygreen.com for home office, all kinds
There's
of fun
always
stuff.
New stuff. He's always got a lot going on.
Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Wreck.
Yes.
Smarty Marty's. I love Smarty Marty. Anyway, they're here in northern New Jersey with several locations, but Rent-A-Wreck is obviously all over the country.
Right.
Don't let the name fool you. All the cars are in beautiful condition. They're just, you know, they're not brand new necessarily.
But they're well taken care of.
They're beautiful. And he also has truck rentals.
Super helpful.
Which you're going to be using soon.
Yeah, seriously.
So check out Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Wreck. You can go to rentarec.com/greendivas, or you could just go to thegreendivas.com, and right at the top, you'll see a link.
Yeah, there they are.
Go there, check it out.
Yes.
So stay tuned. We have a lot coming up.
Tons coming up.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Now, where's Gracie woofing when you need her?
I know, right? Well, I think she's calm because of that massive bone that...
I know, she's busy. She's busy.
She's busy. She's out of commission at the moment. But when she isn't chewing on her bone, I have some things, some recipes.
Yeah.
One in particular that caught my eye that would be great for her to try.
A healthy snack, right?
Yeah. A healthy homemade dog biscuit recipe. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and we eat healthy. You know, we are conscious consumers who, we see the ingredients that are in things. We make our own food. You know, we look at where it comes from. Dogs, why are dogs any different?
Right.
You know,
why would we feed our dog chemicals? And
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So I got to thinking about it. And I was like, huh, well, let's talk about the health benefits as well as the reasons why it's important to maybe make your own dog biscuits.
OK.
You know, so
I know people make their own dog food.
Yes, I've heard that.
And we could, that's a whole nother episode.
That's a whole, yes. Let's start with the treats first.
Start with the treats.
But yeah, so I guess the first thing is just safety.
Yeah.
You know, safety for the pet.
Okay.
Think about, there's so many chemicals and preservatives in, like, say if you wanted to buy a bag of chips, right? There's so many preservatives and so many chemicals, harmful things
so
that are in
sad.
Those.
I like chips.
Yeah, I know, me too. But if you make your own homemade,
you know
what's in them.
Then you know what's in
them. You know? So basically, I will fully include a list of some chemicals that are harmful, but there are many harmful chemicals, including carcinogens, that are in dog biscuits.
And you also said before when we were talking about it that there are chemicals that actually affect a dog's brain.
Yeah. Their little brains, they're sensitive.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. So they really can interact hormonally
and
affect their
good.
Brains, you know? And so there's
Don't
a lot
mess
of research
with the
done.
Dog's hormones, man.
No, seriously. No. But a lot of them can cause aggressive behavior as well. That's more of the hormonal, I would say, side effect.
Interesting.
But yeah, I will include some of the names of the chemicals. So that way, if you do buy dog biscuits, you can just at least look.
Yeah, and see what's out there.
But also, they're not as fatty.
Okay.
Homemade dog biscuits tend to be a lot leaner and have healthier fats.
Right.
Because of the less preservatives. So that also means a healthier heart for the dog in general.
And you don't need to make your dog fat.
Right. You know, I mean, you can give them fat-free or reduced fat, but that's not really going to help them have a healthier heart. It's just exposing them to the same kind of chemicals.
Right.
So it basically decreases the chance of them becoming obese
later
in life. So, you know, another thing, too, is that it's just good for their digestive tract, too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get stuck in there.
I think the recipe that you have is also whole grains.
Everything you have in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could eat them a lot. This bakery that arrived.
So let's talk about the ingredients.
Yeah. So this recipe I found online because, like I said, I've never baked for a dog before. But we did make it Green Diva approved because I basically meshed a bunch that I thought sounded really good.
Yeah.
But it's basically a vegetarian cookie recipe, so it's not going to have, or vegan.
Actually, I think mine's going to end up vegan when we make it,
totally
right? Because I'm
going
to use the almond milk.
Yeah.
All right.
But you want like whole wheat flour. You could probably use a rice flour base. Yeah. That would work just as well. Yeah, amazing.
Gluten-free.
Yeah. So you need some rolled oats. Regular or quick is fine. There's no differentiation for this. Some parsley. Your almond milk.
Yeah.
And then you just need a little bit of salt. Some eggs.
Okay.
So
it's not vegan.
So not vegan, but you probably could do a substitute of sorts.
Well, we going to use flax, but you got to find what the binder is then.
Maybe some applesauce.
There you go. Maybe.
You know? So I'll put that in. Okay. We'll make it vegan and gluten-free. But you need some peanut butter, a cup of it. Probably any other nut butter would work just as well.
Well, that's a binder.
You know, that's a binder right there. And you need a little bit of cold water. Basically just enough to make the dough. So there's no exact set measurement for that. Some flaxseed, like you said. You mix it together and you bake it like you would a cookie, maybe putting it in a little dog bone mold.
Aww.
You know? And there you go. You have cookies.
I don't have any dog bone molds, but I have like Santa Claus, you know, make gingerbread cookies.
Yeah, why not, right? Right. She won't care, you know? But yeah, I mean, just because you're making your own homemade, it's also a lot cheaper, so...
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that recipe and then trying it this week, and I'll let you all know how it goes.
Yeah, you can taste it yourself, too.
Yeah, that's right, right?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Gina.
No problem.
Gracie, thanks, Eugenia.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. Want to understand what climate change is really all about? Want to get the latest in environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 report to keep up with everything you need to know.
All right, Green Diva Lynn, calling in. Calling it in, man.
Yes,
I am.
How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good. A little cold. It feels like Chicago today here.
No.
But, yeah. You know, thank you, Polar Vortex.
I was hoping to run today, but there's a little frosting on the road, so I have to kind of put that to the side.
So tell us what's the most prominent environmental news happening today?
Well, I'm really spun up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm about ready to, I don't know what I'm going to do, but. I'm talking to you guys, so I can get it off my chest.
Yeah, you can vent. This is a place for venting.
We'll have a little support group here.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about the student protest on Sunday at the White House.
Yes.
There was a protest against the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes.
And this
yes.
is a really a big week because the 7th is the last day that you can comment on the pipeline going through the U.S.
Right.
So there was this big protest. At the White House called the XL Dissent. Hundreds of students were arrested, and they're calling it possibly the largest youth sit-in on the environment in a generation. So
awesome.
It was pretty, wow. pretty big. And today I noticed that a Forbes writer, I thought it was, I was kind of curious what mm-hmm. Forbes was going to say about it, and this writer called the protest an exercise in hypocrisy and ignorance.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm spun out
and
now.
And he called the protesters misguided youths, slammed them for using gas to get there. And I ended up in a ridiculous Twitter conversation with him.
Did you?
Today.
Good for you. Good
wow.
for you.
Yeah, and he just said that I was parroting propaganda and, you know, I was throwing some facts out to him. He called me one of you people.
Uh-oh. Yeah, yeah, that ain't right.
So anyway, there is going to be, you know, we still have a couple of days to take action, put our voice out there. So I will put that up on the site, and I was hoping that we could get that up on the Facebook page.
Oh, okay, you did. I see. I saw your email come through, and we'll get that up on the site immediately.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, the good news side of all of that is that Senators Boxer and Whitehouse held a press conference this week urging John Kerry to ask for a health impact study on the Keystone Project. So hopefully that will have some impact.
Now, is there any truth to the rumor that Chelsea Clinton was arrested at the White House with this group?
Oh, maybe she was. I haven't seen
that. Okay. I saw it, but I don't know the veracity. I don't know.
We should check it out.
Yeah, we should. I was like, go Chelsea.
Yeah. Oh, man.
My fingers don't move fast enough on the keyboard to see if I can look it up real quick. But if it's out there, I will. Yeah, I see the headline. Was she really arrested?
Okay. So it's a big question on all our minds.
I see a photo of her with her hands behind her back.
Looks is like that her? I wasn't
cuffed.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But
way
anyway,
to go,
so that's,
Chelsea.
Yeah.
I
shout
know.
Out, Chelsea.
She might be president one day. Who knows?
I yeah. hope so.
Another interesting thing, the GOP has been accused of environmental racism.
Really?
It all has to do with the thing that they drafted recently requiring the EPA. I mean, this is still in the works, of course. Requiring the EPA to focus on chemicals that pose the greatest risk to the public. And, I mean, that seems like good news, but by focusing on the worst chemicals, you're taking away resources to that would be helping people in communities who live close to pollutants, I guess you could say.
Okay, all right.
So that's, you know, that's kind of out there. We were talking about Walmart earlier.
Yeah.
Since we're on the subject of chemicals.
Yeah.
They just recently notified its suppliers that they need to stop using harmful chemicals. So that could possibly mean tens of thousands of products will be reformulated.
I love it.
And that is huge.
Yeah. I mean, say what you will about Walmart, but that's going to have that's using their power for good.
Yeah.
Right? So bravo to them.
Yeah.
I don't really, I quite honestly, I hate shopping at Walmart.
I know. That's
I stay away from there,
part.
But hey, this is great.
Well, it'll force an industry standard for a lot of manufacturers.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Go Walmart.
Yeah,
yay.
Seriously.
Never thought you'd hear me say that, did you?
Never. In all my time I've known you, I thought, no,
no.
Never.
I have more WTF news.
Great.
I like the WTF. It's so wacky.
What the Fukushima?
Ah, what
yeah.
the Fukushima?
There was a reporter who recently visited the nuclear plant, and there's a PBS video that takes you through that. It's 3 years later, and they're still cleaning up the facilities.
Yeah.
Just in February, there was a big overflow of radioactive water.
Oh, dear.
100 tons of highly radioactive water, to be exact.
Oh, dear.
There's some radioactive materials that have actually reached Canada.
Oh,
and they're
dear.
Saying they may reach the West Coast by April.
Oh,
but
that's not good for fish, is it?
Well,
or anything.
Some researchers anyway, are saying that the contamination levels would be so low that they'd probably cause no environmental or human harm, but who the
yeah.
heck knows if that's really true.
Yeah,
yeah
right.
seriously.
I mean, it's really, is it with that, and you have plastics and mercury and all these
but
other things happening, it's...
No chemicals. I mean,
the ocean's
chemical.
Like a witch's brew.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And you don't even know how they all interact, so yikes!
I know, pretty scary.
Any good news?
Yeah, we have some good news.
I knew you'd have some good news.
Los Angeles just placed a moratorium on fracking.
Oh, that
yeah.
is good news.
I know. So that could be really good for, you know, it could set the standard.
Right, in
yeah.
California and elsewhere, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a moratorium at least until they're able to verify that fracking doesn't compromise residents'
right. good
safety
luck.
Or the drinkability of their water. But
yeah, good luck
believe,
verifying that.
Yeah,
good luck. And then there's a cool thing. There's a new citizen science project launched by climate researchers that people can take part in that will help them figure out scientifically if global warming made this winter's extreme deluge
right.
more likely or not.
Because mm-hmm.
they're going to have people all over the world
I love
helping,
it.
You know.
Crowdsourcing science.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love
if
it.
If you have a computer, yeah. you can join the research project. I think
well, you have
cool.
to probably have a brain that works that way. I would not be of any use
I wouldn't
want
to
science project.
Personally.
It wouldn't work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad there are people doing it, though. Great.
Absolutely.
That's good news.
And a non sequitur, which I am, I don't know if you have noticed, but I am the queen of non sequiturs. My husband calls me that all the time. So
shifting gears.
I apologize for that.
That's all right.
A condom per day keeps climate change away. That is something to keep in your back pocket.
Wait, say that again? Sorry.
A condom per day keeps climate change away.
Oh, my God. That's funny. That's very funny.
It is funny.
Family planning can be a means to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions. It makes sense. The more people out there, the more people demanding more stuff, including food and water, which is going to be, it's pretty controversial.
I think it's fantastic because, you know
what,
overpopulation is one of the least talked about, biggest impact, and the biggest problems that that we all just, like, freak out and don't want to talk about.
Yeah, people are afraid to put it out there, but here I'm putting it out there.
Good.
I think it's good to put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And if we invest heavily in family planning, we can bring it back down to 6 million by 2099. 6 billion.
There's a goal.
Not million. I mean, it would be nice if it was 6 million. That'd make life a lot easier, but.
So is our take action this week, use a condom?
No. Use a condom.
Just kidding.
Family planning.
So tell us what our action is, and then we've got to wrap up.
It would have to do with the Keystone XL.
Okay.
By March 7th, that's our final chance.
Okay.
That's this Friday.
Input in this. Yes, that would be Friday, absolutely.
That'd be Friday.
Make your comments, make your feelings known, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, then.
Well, and it's easy because in this case, it's through 350.org, and you just type in your name and boom, that's it, if you want to do it the easy way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you can do it a couple times using different names. No.
Or five times.
Kidding. Just kidding. JK. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm so silly. Well, Lynn, this is an excellent report. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing the whole post because Lynn is so good at giving us the best news.
Yes.
Curating.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Bye, Lynn.
Bye,
thanks.
Lynn.
Take care. Have a good one.
To find out more about this Green Divas My Earth 360 report, visit thegreendivas.com. And to learn even more about climate change and environmental news, go to myearth360.com.
Greetings, everyone. This is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist, author, and chocolatier. And you're listening to The Green Divas. Listen close, tune in, and have the best day ever.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Okay, well, we're so happy. I'm so happy to have Paul Miller, Green Dude Paul Miller, back in the studio. It's like the old days, Paul.
It is. It's like looking backwards in time. And I so enjoy being here with you every time.
Well, and Paul's been with us when we were back in the homegrown radio studios up in Blairstown.
Yes, on the other side of the world.
And then you were down in our MTR studios for a while.
Right.
So I think we'll be having some fun making some Green Dude segments.
Absolutely.
So this week,
Diva for a day.
Diva. You're a dude.
All man.
Ha ha ha. So you have an interesting topic today.
Yeah, having just attended a workshop last week or the week before, I guess, the New Jersey Public Policy Network.
Sounds exciting.
Yes, doesn't it? Yes. Second only to accounting.
Yeah.
It was held at the FDU Metro Campus in Teaneck, Hackettstown area. Hackensack.
Yeah.
Yes. So there, I get them.
Okay.
Get all the hacks and stuff.
Yeah, the hacks.
And it brought together some really interesting resources from the Yale Climate Communications Initiative, which brings some credibility to it. And a really incredible organization that folks around the country could look up. It's called Nexus. ClimateNexus.org.
I'm writing it down. Go ahead.
So the Yale folks do the research that help you understand kind of the audiences that we would look at. So this was particularly about how to talk to your neighbors and colleagues about climate change.
Hence the Yale Climate Communications. What is
exactly
it again? Say it again.
I believe it was the Yale Climate Communication.
Thank
Climate
you.
Change Communications Initiative.
Yeah.
And they do a great body of research to help you understand kind of the spectrum of audiences that you'd have to talk to. Those, and you'd find yourself on this spectrum. I would think most of us, your listeners, are probably in the concerned area.
We
know this is real.
We believe it.
We understand that human activity has an impact on it. And then the other end of the spectrum where people, you know, don't believe it's real, or they don't believe it's being affected by man-made activities.
Help folks like us who do believe and are concerned talk to people in our community, friends, neighbors, family members that are like, I don't know so much about
this.
And it gives you those what's the word I'm looking for? Not the argument, but the statistics and the reasoning.
Absolutely.
Because I know that I believe, but I don't always have those statistics at my fingertips to answer, how to answer.
I think it was most helpful, and I put it to use right away, literally the next day, meeting with someone who I didn't see eye to eye with on the issue. And they gave you a 5-point, 10-word kind of outline that you can use for yourself to communicate to others.
Can you give that to us so we can put it on? Well, I mean, other than saying it, you're like, I'm about
no,
to.
It's a secret.
That we should post it on the website. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So first, it's real. This is really happening. And I think as long as you frame it in climate change as opposed to global warming,
because in the winter,
people roll their eyes and it's 20 below zero. And what are you talking about?
And you get all
warming?
All the pictures of Al Gore freezing
to
death.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's real. It's us acknowledging that this is based on human activity and man-made activities. And the next one is that scientists agree, and that is probably one of the most powerful. 97% of climate experts in the scientific community agree that this is real and that human activities are having an impact on the severity and frequency.
Oh, I'm writing that. I'm going to remember that statistic because that is one that kind of I want to say that, but I don't really know.
97%. Okay. And you'd hope that you could get people to understand that the scientific community probably spans a good representation of society, and that some of those people are more liberal or conservative, but they're scientists first and foremost, and they believe in the data, they understand science. So it's real, it's us, scientists agree, it's bad. This is really critical. We're seeing the impacts, every month in different parts of the world in extreme weather. And then finally, what's most important to all of us, because it's very easily to be paralyzed by fear, that there's hope.
Hope.
There are things we can do as an individual, as collective communities, in your workplace, in your home.
Right. So that's what we're all about here.
Absolutely.
It's not all doom and gloom. There's solutions, and we're working on them.
Absolutely. But first you have to acknowledge that there's a real problem here. And so climatenexus.org, great organization.
Great.
Terrific materials available to people all
over
the country.
So we'll look for this on the greendivas.com. Excellent segment. Thank you, Paul.
No problem.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Okay, so we're excited because we're going to finally get to speak to John Kelly, who is the CEO of the Climate Youth Project. Also, I got to read this because I love this. He is the self-declared Emperor Penguin of Nikko Harbor Entertainment. Hi, John.
Hi, Meg.
Did I get it right?
Absolutely. Great to talk to you.
I loved your title. And we've been having a lot of fun preparing for this interview, watching some of the videos.
Fantastic.
So just tell us a little bit what the Youth Climate Project is.
So Youth Climate Report.
Report. I'm sorry. I said that wrong.
Oh. Youth Climate Report is a project. It's a global crowdsourced video project. It's a big mouthful. But what we do is we work with youth around the world and give them the tools, not actually the tools, but we give them support to prepare video interviews with research scientists in their own backyard.
Nice.
Scientists who are working on climate change issues. So broadly speaking, the physical science of climate change, or perhaps adaptation, mitigation type of research. And they upload their videos to YouTube, and we compile them every year, and we present them at high-level UN conferences on climate change.
Yeah, we saw that. UNFCCC, it took us a while to find it and figure out what that was.
The UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. So that's the big annual conference that draws tens of thousands of scientists and negotiators and researchers and policy wonks and government officials every year, and it tours around the world, and it occurs in sort of November or December. The most recent one was in Warsaw in Poland. And at that conference, governments are working on issues related to climate change.
John, this is Green Dude Paul. I'm here in the studio with Megan as well. And wondering, what's the definition of youth in your project?
Yeah, I was thinking of that. I'm like, am I young anymore?
We're young at heart. Just wondering what age groups you're working with.
So we are co-presenting the films that we present with the United Nations Environment Program. So we kind of work with their definition of youth, which is 18 to 25. And for the most part, the people that are participating in our video interviews are university students, although we also have had high school students.
Wonderful. Now, what made you think to do this?
So my background, I don't come from a science background whatsoever. I'm a lawyer. I do film finance. And several years ago, I worked on a project with a fellow by the name of Mark Terry, who is a journalist, who's an explorer, a filmmaker. And we became friends, and we kept a connection. And Mark went to Antarctica after watching Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth.
Right.
Mark decided to find out what was going on in Antarctica. He was really curious to know what the latest science was. So he took it upon himself to go down. He put together a really small crew. He booked passage on one of the tourist cruise lines that goes down the Western Antarctic Peninsula, and he went there and interviewed scientists. He came back. He put together a film. This was the summer before the big 2009 UN conference on climate in Copenhagen. And UNEP were looking around to try to find scientists to come and speak at the conference about what was happening in Antarctica.
Right.
And because the conference occurs in November, December, this is sort of the height of their research season, because, of course, it's summer in Antarctica. So all the scientists are on the ground, the ones who know what's going on, are on the ground doing their research at that time, and they weren't very interested in going to Copenhagen to speak to the conference. But they said to the UNEP people who reached out to them, there was a filmmaker here, and perhaps he was interviewing us, perhaps he has a film to show that would, you know, talk about what we've been doing recently. So UNEP tracked down Mark. He had just finished his film, and he agreed to show it at the conference. So he was invited by UNEP to attend the conference. So he did that in Copenhagen. He was invited back the next year the conference was in Cancun in Mexico.
Nice.
Mark
nice.
Was invited back. He'd just finished shooting another film, this time focused on the Arctic. called The Polar Explorer. And at that stage, I was helping him to finish the film, find some funding to actually finish the film. And Mark told me, you know, what his experience had been with UNEP and with the climate change conferences. And I said, well, it's such a tremendous opportunity that you have. He was the only filmmaker to actually be invited to, at that time, the first filmmaker to be invited to show his films at the conferences. And I said, let's try to keep this relationship alive, and let's perhaps look at crowdsourcing the science interviews from around the world. So let's open it up to physical science that's occurring around the world, talk to researchers around the world. But we don't have the capacity to do that, but we can crowdsource it, and if we get youth to do it, perhaps UNEP would be interested in that and excited about it. And in fact, they were.
Well, it's so interesting. It's a great idea to engage youth, and, you know, college kids have all their, you know, young people have all that energy and they want to jump in. And, you know, it's surprising how many young people really want to get engaged in this stuff.
Absolutely. And that's what we found. And for the most part, I mean, we launched the project at a UNEP youth environmental conference in Indonesia in 2011. And we've been presented now four Youth Climate Report films.
Wow.
Three at UN Climate Change conferences and one at the Rio Plus 20 conference.
Well, it's interesting.
The Earth Summit.
That's great. It's interesting. We were just talking about a group here in the States called Climate Nexus, who assists with, you know, media placement and resources to educate people on how to discuss climate change with your neighbors, that would range from those who are concerned or alarmed to those who dismiss it existing altogether. And, you know, one of the pieces, one of the key pieces of information is that scientists agree. 97% of scientists agree that this is the state of the planet, and important to pay attention to this scientific community, and acknowledging that we as individuals are not scientists. We can't talk the science piece of it for those that want to deny and argue us on the points.
Right.
So I think creating tools like this, where scientists in short clips get the opportunity to state their findings and their research and reinforce that fact that scientists agree this is a problem, and remove those of us that have a passion and understanding that we as individuals can make a difference, but kind of removing ourselves from having to play the part of scientists is really a great service to those of us out here doing the field work.
Yeah, well, it is. It's an important resource for us.
And obviously young people are part of why many of us do this work. They've got more of a future ahead of them, and we want to make sure that we've left them a planet worth living on.
Yeah, right. Here's a question for you. I'm curious about if you have any information, you may or may not, and how many young people are going into environmental science. I was kind of under the impression that our sciences were a little bit, you know, that the rate of young people going into science was a little bit low. Is that changing?
That's a great question. I'm not sure that I can really properly answer that.
Right. Yeah, I thought you might.
We work a lot with kids in environmental science programs, of course. But it's would be tough for me to really answer that question. And also, I think that, you know, another aspect of that question is, how does that change around the world? Because we are working with youth predominantly in sub-Saharan Africa,
yeah,
in South Asia, who are very much, I would say even more so, you know, polar vortex notwithstanding, very much on the front lines of seeing weather patterns changing and how that affects their region, their village, the crop yield, the advent of rains or the lack of rains.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've seen a big take up in those communities more so than in Europe, more so than really in North America.
Wow. Yeah, well, one of the videos we watched looked like it was from Africa, Me and My Bike.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was really wonderful.
Very cute. But our favorite one, I have to say, was...
I'm a climate scientist.
That was a lot of fun.
Well, on our YouTube channel, which I would encourage people to track down and subscribe to if they like what they see, it's Youth Climate Report on YouTube. We have playlists, so we're grabbing lots of material from other sources as well. So we have dedicated playlists that are related to the work that we do, and then we're grabbing fun stuff as well, just to try to keep eyeballs as long as possible on our channel from other sources.
And you can go. What we did is went to your website, but now I'm going to go to the YouTube when we sign off, and I'm going to play over there. And hopefully, if you don't mind, we'll be posting about this interview and embedding the podcast in on our blog. And hopefully, I can grab one of these videos and from YouTube and share it.
Thanks very much. That'd be great. I mean, we've got a playlist that we've been tweeting about. We're also on Twitter, as one needs to be, of course, these days. It's YCRTV on Twitter. And we've been tweeting a lot about the film that we presented in Warsaw. We've actually, for the first time, tried to split up into chapters. So we have more bite-sized chunks, because the films tend to be 40, 45 minutes long. We've cut this one up into chapters. We worked with a really tremendous young filmmaker who was the overarching sort of visionary for this version, YCR4, as we call it.
Uh-huh.
And he conceptualized the film in such a way that it could be broken into chapters. And so we've got 5 or 6 minute segments that we've got a playlist of those too. So it's a bit more watchable than necessarily sitting down and watching an entire 45-minute film.
We're totally finding in what, and I'm an old magazine publisher. Yes, I'm a little bit old maybe, but I meant that I used to do it. But, the difference between 20 years ago and an article that you would write, and now everything 140 characters, but also the videos that we're doing, that we're finding people really want like 5 minutes. And I'm like, wow, it's hard to edit everything into 5 minutes,
especially an issue of this complexity. But I think it's fascinating and really impressive project that you're bringing young people into a conversation about issues that are critical to their future. But by bringing in, video as a platform and crowdsource funding as a mechanism,
makes
it relevant, to the technologies that are shaping their lives. So congratulations and thank you.
So again, people can go to youthclimatereport.org.
.org, that's correct.
I got that one right. Sorry about botching it in the beginning. But
I'm going to give her a test on all the acronyms on there.
Oh, I know. United Nations
Environment Program.
Framework for Climate.
Framework Convention on Climate Change.
I almost got it. All right. I got the first three.
It's required a lot of practice on my part.
I can imagine.
Well, keep up the good work. We're really enjoying it, and I think it's really important work.
And I wanted to ask, how do young filmmakers or science enthusiasts participate? Do they go onto the website, and are they able to just submit, or do they need to apply to participate? What's the process?
We find that if they just submit, that we absolutely look at everything.
Okay.
There are instructions for them to consider on our website that helps them to, create something that has a greater chance of being part of the overall film each year. We'd like to see material that's submitted the most important thing, of course, is just the sound quality, as I'm sure you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having great sound quality, people will put up with a jumpy picture or less of a quality camera image. But thinking about the backlighting of the subject, the proper lighting of the subject. Don't put somebody in front of a window. And then, you know, more tips along those lines. I'm not a filmmaker myself, but we have lots of tips that Mark put together for us on the website.
Terrific.
And people just you know, reach out to us, talk to us. This is not our day job, so we sometimes might take a couple of days to get back to you, but we really encourage participation.
Terrific. And I noticed that people can donate as well, and I think that's also a great idea. If you have an extra couple bucks, this is a great project to, you know, help youth get the conversation out there.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks very much for noticing that, Meg, yeah.
Thanks so much for calling, John, and we'll talk to you again soon. I'm looking forward to seeing more videos.
Super. Thanks. Thanks for the time.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
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 Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
Wow. So much going on.
So much.
It was a good
full
week.
Show.
Full show.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about climate change and kind of getting the word out there.
Totally.
And you know, a lot of environmental news. And I like that because I see a lot of this stuff, but it's really nice when Lynn, you know, wraps it up every week in
right.
a nice package and explains it to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Better than Christmas.
So go to thegreendivas.com,
yes.
which pretty soon is going to be updated.
Yes.
In the next week or two, it's going to like have a whole new face.
Little pizzazz.
Boy. Little pizzazz.
Yes.
So anyway, we burned up another hour, but it's low carbon output, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a way to say that. No, we burned up another hour, but we didn't pollute.
Yes. No. We didn't pollute your minds. We added clean
yeah.
knowledge.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So everyone have a great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.